you know, I'm going to talk about the prophetic today. And before I do, I just want to make clear what part of the prophetic I'm talking about. The Hebrew and Greek is such a beautiful language because you have the roots. It's like a tree. You have the root words. Then you have the trunk. And then you have the leaves. And then you have the fruit. And people come along, and my whole life I was told prophecy just means bubbling up. It means just bubbling up. Well, that's one of the definitions, but it's not the only definition. It's actually the definition in the Hebrew. And if you look in the Old Testament, there's one word for prophet. There's a word for seer. There's another word for seer. There's another word for false prophet, like Balaam, that has nothing to do with those. Because there is counterfeit prophecy. But we don't throw out teaching because there's false teaching. And see, the thing is, if I give you $1 million, you don't go, well, it could be counterfeit and throw it out. What do? You take it to the bank and test it. Why? Because it has great value. God, man didn't come up with prophecy. God did. Because he said, everything about you is not written in this book, so I want to give my people a gift. So he came up with prophecy. The Bible says there's one that tells the end from the beginning. So when I'm talking about prophecy today, I'm talking about personal promises from God. Now, let me just say that actually the word, there's a word that I want to talk about. It's the prophecy is from two words. It's from two words. It means before and to make clear, set as a priority. That's what it means in the Greek. So before it happens, God wants, I want you to set this as a priority, make it clear. And another word, another meaning is to bring light, to bring one thought above another, or to bring light to illuminate one opinion above another. Amen. Keith, if you please bring up first the Timothy scripture, 1 Timothy 1:18. Because I'm going to refer to Alan's sermon. Alan talked about it here at Sound. And, you know, it's funny. I couldn't get away with it. I referred to it in my last sermon. But the funny thing is, it's not, you say you know it. And sometimes we get a prophetic word and we say, I heard it before. Well, just because you know a word and can recite a word, it's not the same thing as believing a word. The Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If we just had to, there's people that confess with their mouth and they never believe. Friends are not saved. There's a confession. It's like the Bible says, Jonah knew exactly the word of the Lord, and the Bible says he ran away from it. He ran away from the word of the Lord. He knew exactly what God was saying. But the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? God wants us to walk with the word to seeing it come to pass. Now it says, I was taught my whole life, believe the word, right? You need to believe the word, believe the word. That's the truth. There's a truth to that, but that's the first step. I want you to look at the scripture. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. Paul's writing to a son. He's not writing to a church. If you look at the letters of Timothy, the last letter, when Paul knew his life was coming to an end, the last letter he wrote was to Timothy. It was to a person. It wasn't to a church. It wasn't to a mass of people. He was putting everything into Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Notice it doesn't say for them, by them. Because God wants us to come to a place where we cement it in concrete. Not like we're trying to believe the word, 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 trying to believe the word. No, God wants us to believe the word and then fight from there, fight with the word. By them you may wage the good warfare. Not for them. It's not for prophecies. It's for Jesus. It's for the Father. It's for the Son. It's for the Holy Spirit. I'm not waging war for personal prophecies. I'm waging from them. From them. It's like, what do you really believe? And see, the Mormons come to my door. Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door. And I know they believe that God was created in the flesh. And we all say, we all know that. But I think sometimes we have a created Jesus that doesn't line up with this word. My question to you is the Jesus you believe in able to bring to pass the promises he gave you? Or is he too weak? Or does he make promises he doesn't come through on? Is the Jesus you believe in too weak to make to pass the promises? Let me just talk about prophetic. Sometimes the opposite happens first. The very opposite. And then you hear a voice saying, did God really say? Did God really say not eat of the tree? And then you have to make that decision. I've had lots of words about finances, money. See, the thing, Jesus is the word made flesh. But he wants to make words in your life flesh. He wants to bring your word to flesh. See, when you get a word, when I say flesh, I mean manifest, real. You can touch it. You can see it. You know, when you get a word about nations, it's actually real countries. It's real planes. It's real plane tickets. It's real money. Huh? Some of you, you're going to go to real weddings, or you just want an imaginary prophetic word wedding. Here's my spouse. That's cuckoo. That's crazy. See, you fight from the word. You're not trying to believe the word. That way, when the thought comes, you're always lonely. No, God said, I'm going to have a spouse. You're always going to be broke. No, you go from the word. By them, you wage the good warfare. It's a good warfare because you win. It's a good warfare because God gave you promises. I'm not talking about pulling promises out of the air. I want to be this. There's got to be confirmation. If I said today, I feel like God's called me to start a church in Beijing, China. Easy and Lena want to see me after the service. Where'd you get this from? See, so it's not about that. Yeah, there's a lot of false prophecies. And let me just tell you this. The people that I know that are true prophets, they have no problem with going test it. It's the ones that are worried, go, I'm the prophet of the house. No, go test it. Go test it with your pastors. Go test it. One of the most accurate men I've ever heard in my life. Just an older guy, back when they had cassettes, accurate. He gave you a sheet after he prophesied. First thing, never make a major decision off one prophetic word. He didn't go, I'm the prophet of the house. So prophecy has great value. Yes, there's counterfeit, but you test it. Why? Why do you, if you get $1 million, take it to the bank. When the bank says it's real, it's real. I'm just deposit. Now it's up to you. When you take it to God, God, this is true. And people say, oh, you know, prophecy just is you know, it's a confirmation. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's something totally new. Sometimes it's something you won't like. I've heard people get prophecies they've cried over. Huh? So it's not like if it's not a confirmation. No, God came up with it, and it has great value. There's nowhere in the Bible that says don't desire prophecy. There's nowhere in the Bible that says don't believe in true prophecy. So I know what people will say, prophecy means to bubble up. Yes, and preaching can be a form of prophecy. But the prophecy I'm talking about today is God declaring the end from the beginning. Amen? Personal promises. Now, you can be driving down the road, and God give you a prophecy. When I say prophecy, I'm not just saying from a prophetic voice. God can speak to you and say, boom. I knew when I was praying for my dad, my dad had cancer. He was going to die. He did not believe in God. And I was praying, and I was praying. And all of a sudden, I knew God spoke to me. And I just knew it was settled. He was going to be saved. I wasn't trying to believe anymore. Now I believe from that place. 2 weeks later, my brother led him to the Lord. My brother, who is just hardcore, he calls me and says, John, your dad got saved. The peace of God just filled the whole room. I'm so glad it was him and not me who led him to the Lord. Because if I would have called him, he goes, well, how do you know? He just said the prayer. Does he really mean it? But yeah, Jim, yeah, the peace of God. He goes, Dad saved. But I already knew 2 weeks before when God spoke to me. He already cleared. I was fighting from there. I wasn't trying to believe anymore. See, I was in a sorrowful place. My dad was ready to go into eternity. The same dad, when I got saved at 13, didn't like it. The same dad that made fun of me. The same dad that, yeah, he let me ride my bike to church. No, he wasn't down with that. He wasn't down with that, amen? I don't want to get off sidetrack. But so we fight from that place, amen? And so the reason why I'm saying all that is because in 2 Peter 1:21, it says, For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy has great, great value to bring light, to bring one thought to another. I'm going to give you an example. Some of you know Byron, some of you don't. When we were in the other building, there was this young man named Byron. He came into the service one day. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew him. And Cammie gave him a word, just like today. She gave him a word. She said, you've been publicly humiliated, but God says you got the stuff. God says you got the goods. And he just took the word. So I called Cammie yesterday. I said, Cammie, you remember that word you gave Byron? She goes, yep, recited it. I called Byron today because he texted me last week. He texted me a word he got. He says, you're called to the entertainment industry and the music industry. Because Rad Rim is this thing. He always wanted to be in the music industry. But what we didn't know was he made a music CD and he handed it to somebody at a school and they wrote a paper. And he was publicly humiliated. I don't know if it was a college or some university. And so it wasn't just like someone disagreed. He publicly said, this guy doesn't have any skills. This guy is lame. This guy's this to all his friends, everything. And it crushed Byron. So he comes to the service. Cammie says, you've been publicly humiliated. But God says you have the goods. What was that doing? That was illuminating one thought above another. God's thoughts above them. That was a prophetic word, a future promise. So I said, Byron, I called him today before the service because I want to get the stories right. I don't want to make things up. If one person gets saved, one person gets saved. If 1,000 get saved, 1,000 get saved. You don't have to make things up with God because it's all good. Just one was in the manger. So I said, Byron, do you remember when Kay goes, oh, yeah, I remember. And he said, I said, what was your disposition at that time? He goes, man, I was broken. I started talking to him. He goes, I was ready to give up. I was ready to give up. So he just texted me that little word. So that was another word that he received that confirmed why. Don't ever say, I don't need another prophetic word. I hate when people say that. Why? Friends, you don't know what you need. You do not know what you need. And if somebody gave you that, I've had the same word about Don Couch comes, money. I love those words. I value those words. Why? What's he saying? God hasn't forgot, John, don't you? See, when you get a confirmation, God hasn't forgot. We have words about ambulances pulling up. We don't need another word like that. No, we do, because God hasn't forgot, don't you? In every ambulance, there's a person, and there's a person behind the story. See, we just get, oh, I'm going to the nations. I have an international call. In every country, there's people that God cares about. I'm just going to make money. Yeah, but what you give them, there builds orphanages. There's orphanages behind that money. There's people. It's always tied to people. What good is churches and homes and theories and cars and weddings and marriages that never do anything for the kingdom of God? You just sit there watching Netflix. You never make an impact. No one's ever saved. No one's in heaven because you live. What good is that? The world lives like that. What's different about you is your Jesus too weak to bring to pass the promises he said. See, it's not about Sunday morning. We get excited about Sunday morning. It's Wednesday and Thursday, and the voice comes, did God really say? Are you really called? Is he really going to bring in the money? Let me just say something. The prophetic's not perfect. It's not perfect. We got words about the building. Alan, some time ago, that's where I'm headed to, his sermon. Because I'm going to go back to it. See, if I don't feel released yet, I'm going to go back to it. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time because the first time he didn't agree with it. The first time he didn't walk with the word. God wants us to walk with the word. God, I agree your word. I agree what you said. I believe what you said. I'm going to fight from that position. When the voices come, when the things come, you're less than, you're no good. Byron, you're no good. Because when he left here, he went to L.A. You know why he went to L.A.? To make music. Why? Because the word reset him on the course. Sometimes you need to be reset. Computer, reset. Jewelry, reset. Sometimes we need a reset. So it's not about you knowing the word. Do you believe it? You can recite prophetic words and not believe it. You can say the sinner prayer and not believe it. I know I'm going to go to nations and, you know, speak Spanish and eat tacos and all those things. I got to believe it. If you don't know, I'm called to Latin America. It's one of the things. Indian man came. I forget his name. Samachin. He just says, Brother John. And he starts giving a prophetic word. And then he goes, is there Brother John here? He says, revivals in Latin America, Africa, India, all these things. What? God was saying, what? He didn't come up with that. Kami didn't come up with that word today for John, which is so awesome. Who's wearing an Astro shirt? Woo! See, it's like a faucet. Water, I've said it a million times, water does not come from a faucet, it comes through a faucet. If you look underneath, there's supply lines. He is the supply lines, he is the encourager. Why does he give prophecy? To give a future and a hope, not to box you in. And one, you know, I had this one guy, he gave me a word. He comes here, Ed Trout, he gave me a word about finances, this long word about finances. The next time he came, he gave me a word about ministry. Why? One word never boxes you in. He didn't remember the last word. I'm not dependent on him for that word. God, you said it. You will bring it to pass. Let there be light. All of a sudden, things get in motion. There's things that are set in your motion. So when you get there, there will be a line for you. It just takes one person. I want you to meet so-and-so. You know how many marriages have that? I want you to meet somebody. In one sentence, I want you to meet somebody. And all of a sudden, now they have five kids. But I want to go back to a sermon that Alan talked about. Now, let me just say this. Alan has credibility with the prophetic. You just can't believe every word. I remember one year he told Chris, it was the beginning of the year, he says, Chris, you're going to have a new job this year. So Chris and I talked about that word all year. December, Chris got a new job. December is still part of that year. You know, amen? So you see it. He said, we're moving. We're moving. We got a building. Well, recently in his prophetic sermon, after Alan, a couple weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks ago, he says, I hear a sound. I've listened to that sermon about 7 or 8 times because of the value of the, he goes, this is a prophetic sermon. He goes, I hear the sound. And he says, we're moving to another level. There's that word moving again. But this time it's not physical, it's spiritual. And he goes, I hear the sound of rain. And I believe, he goes, it's not a general rain. What does that mean? There's specific promises for everybody. What he was specifically talking about was the promises of God in your life coming to pass. And he said it's not a general rain. How many know your word can come to pass, your word can come to pass, your word can come to pass in the same day? See, we think it's this, it's linear. God doesn't think like that. It could be lots of people. You know, so 3 people could get married in the same year. You know what I mean? 3 people can have counseling in the same year. I mean, you can just... you got to make your jokes while you're single, man. Because one day somebody's going to be sitting there, and I'll go, you know my wife, she's so sweet. Yes, honey. One guy says, you know, the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife's voice. Amen. So I believe God wants to encourage us today about the promises of God. He wants the word made flesh, wants to make a word made flesh. Tangible, real, physical. There was hundreds of prophecies about Jesus. It was just a word. The Messiah. And then there was 400 silent years. Between the old and the new. No prophecy, no book, nothing was going on, nothing written down. There was just silent years. And then there was a crying in the manger. God wants to birth things in the spirit, amen? So let me. I'm just going to review some things that Alan said. He goes, I know, I sense, I feel he's moving us to a new level. I believe that God is setting us up. I want to declare over this house that I hear, I just believe that I hear the sound. Let me just stop right here. You can be prophetic, a prophet. Not everything you say is prophetic. We've had prophets come to this house, and they were not prophetic sermons. They were good sermons, nice sermons, not a prophetic sermons. This sermon was a prophetic sermon for this house. I think we need to grab hold of what he's saying. God didn't give it to him. He says, when God gave it to me, I felt the anointing. I felt the whoosh. I felt the breath of God. There's something we need to go back to, and I can't get away from it, so I'm just going to go with what God says. He says, I see the cloud the size of a man's fist. And Adam talked about a new creation, a new creature, you know, being a new creation. And he says, you know, Adam went from something that never existed before. Adam went from raw material into something that had never been before, never been in this condition before, new. The prophetic will bring us to places that we've never been before. You were never rich before. You were never married before. You were never joyful before. You were never peaceful before. It'll bring you to, it never existed. God took clay and made man. He breathed life on it. So the prophetic can give us an outline like he did man, but then God had to breathe on it. And that's when we come in agreement and we believe him and we start walking with the word. Because until we believe, there's no life to it. There's just shape. This is just a clay man. But when God comes in, he says, this is man. He breathes life. Then we breathe with him. We agree with him. We soak up his life. Man did not have life until God expelled his. He breathed into his nostrils. Everything God made was by word except man. With man, he got down and made it with his hands. Let there be light. It was just a word. It was everything was from a distance. But when he made man, he got close to it. See, we need to get close to what God's saying so we can breathe life into it. It wasn't from a distance. Let there be light. Psh, big old ball of fire. Hundreds of thousands, so far away, the moon, this, that. But with man, he didn't speak. He got down and he made. He got made. When Jesus paid the price for us, what did he do? He humbled himself as a man and he got down from his throne and to earth. Gave up his rights, gave up his privileges, but not his essence. And he got down. See, when we get down with God, God, I don't know everything. I do need another prophetic word. God, remind me what you said because I want to agree with this. I don't want to be like Jonah and run to Tarshish because I didn't like the word. Go to Nineveh and preach. I don't like the word. So it's not about just knowing it. It's believing it, receiving it, going with it, walking with it, seeing it come to pass. Amen? Then the word become flesh, tangible. We can see it. It's real buildings, real countries, real places. And that prophetic, it's not perfect. You know, in the new building, there'll be dust. You know, when I got a word about you're going to go to other countries, no one told me that sometimes I'm going to be delayed flights. No one told me I'm not going to have a minstrel I can just travel with in the anointing. Some of the worship is going to be so painful in my ears. No skill, no anointing makes for a bad worship. Nobody told me that way. It's not perfect. Nobody told Mary you're going to have to change Jesus' diaper. No one told her that. You know, there's mess with it. So don't expect it to be perfect. But just as long as you have his presence, you'll be all right. Now, you'll be all right. You don't need to be perfect. You know, when the weather's right and, you know, all the money comes in, then I'll step out. No, Gideon, you got too many people. All right, you still got too many. All right, these are like the worst conditions. All right, now you guys are going to move. I hear us moving. Boo. Why didn't you say that earlier? We had money in the bank. When that person was alive. It's not perfect, but he's perfect. And what does he do? He shifts our focus on him. Go here, prophet, for a while. The raven's going to feed you. But then there'll come a day when the raven doesn't feed you no more. But don't worry, I'm still in your life. Now I made a widow. Don't worry, I'm still in your life. See, as long as God's in our life, he'll bring a raven. He'll bring a widow, the poorest widow. You know, he comes. She was just ready to die. But the word already declared the way it's going to work out. See, he already believed. When you come from the place of already believing, see, you must settle that in your heart. Yes, when you get a word, yes, there's times you battle for it, but there must come a time when you settle it and you fight from there. There'll be plenty of money in the new building. In fact, there'll be so much, we're going to send out missionaries. There'll be plenty of people. The millionaire will sit next to the teenager. See, we have to fight from that word, not could it be, could it be, could it be, because all of a sudden you've created a Jesus, and I get a knock on my door, and I open the door, and a Mormon's standing before me, and he's talking about a created Jesus. I'm telling you, I think too many Christians created Jesus that's too weak to bring to pass the promises that he speaks.
He's not the Jesus of the Bible. He's your Jesus. He's the Jesus that disappoints, the Jesus that doesn't come through, the Jesus that has no money. He's broke. He can't afford anything. Your Jesus, when Peter says pay taxes, he would say, I don't know how. Your Jesus, when they came to him and said, feed the 5,000, he says, I don't know what I'm doing. Not my Jesus. Bring me the little boy's lunch. What you think is nothing, I'm going to make something, because I am the Word made flesh. And I will make your Word flesh. Manifest, touching, you can see it. So is your Jesus strong enough to make your promises come to pass? Or is he just going to go to heaven? You get the full Jesus. Does he redeem everybody but you? Can he save everybody's marriages but yours? Can he heal everybody's but yours? Which Jesus do you worship? Because when they come to my door, honey, I know exactly the one they've been taught. And I'm telling you, experience teaches us who Jesus is. We mold him and shape him and de-elevate him. But the demons knew who he was. Satan, one of the most powerful beings, knew exactly who Jesus was. And they cried out, we know who you are. He said, shut up. That's the Jesus that brings the word to pass. Alan says, we're moving. So it was ironic to me. Sometime back, he says, we're moving. We move physically. And I had this sense when he said we're going to move physically, I felt like it was symbolic of the promises of God that were going to happen in the lives of the people. Lo and behold, he comes and says, I just had that sense that God was doing something corporate first, that all of a sudden he was encouraging us. Look, you believed for a building for a long time. You had doors shut in your face. You were told no, and all of a sudden, here's a place for you. It may not be a long-term place, but it's a place for you. It's a place where you can hang your sign. It's a place where you can do what you want. You don't have to be afraid of the prophetic. You don't have to, you can do the carpet you want. You can do the things you want. It was symbolic of saying, okay, if it can happen for the church, it can happen for us. And it was to encourage us to believe him for the promises he's given us. So number one, you need to know what they are. They're specific. Alan says it's not a general rain. Because, see, when rain comes, it can water the farmland. It can water the garden planted by a five-year-old. It can water spaces. I'm not talking about Harvey where it floods. I'm talking about God knows exactly what rain to bring. Amen? So Adam went from a raw material to something he was never before. I want to read you guys a story. Some of you guys remember Gary Wood? Some of you don't. Gary Wood was an awesome. He went to be with the Lord, absent from the body, presence with the Lord. He's with the Lord. I loved Gary. Not just because of his ministry. There's people that I like their ministry, but not so much them. Inside tip. Want to go to lunch? No, I'm good. Peace out. I love Gary because when he's not ministering, he had life. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. A lot of people can get happy when good things are happening, but Gary just had joy. And out of his belly flowed rivers of living water. He was a long-term friend of Pastor Easy and Liam. He was your pastor, I believe. So I went to his memorial service. And I just love Gary. Well, he came, and I bought a book. After one of the services, I bought a book because I love him. It's called Miracles, God's Heavenly Touch on Man. I just like the title. It's a man that's seen miracles and prayed for miracles. And so the chapter of this title of this chapter is God Can and He Will. I like that. I like that. Not can and he might. God can and he will. There's a letter written by a woman. And these letters have been collected through years, and it was precious to Gary because you can tell he saved them. He says, in the summer of 1977, Gary Wood came to visit our prayer group in Wharton, Texas. Just 2 days before he came, I had suffered a miscarriage. I hadn't told anyone. We had two normal, healthy children, and I didn't think anyone would understand my heartache. Gary Wood began to prophesy that night. As he pointed his finger at me, he said, Sister, God says to dry your tears. He's going to give you another child. I was newly spirit-filled and had never seen a personal prophecy before. I knew only God knew what happened to me. Gary Wood didn't even know my name, and I hadn't been crying at all during the meeting. 4 years later, in 1981, my daughter was born. She was followed by two little brothers. I praise God every day for my precious children, and I am thankful for his prophet who gave me a word in due season. The woman who wrote that letter is Chesley Sharp's mom. Chesley is literally a word made flesh. So I went to Chesley. I said, Chesley, because I work with him. I said, Chesley, do you know Gary Wood? He says, yes, I do. I said, did you know your mom wrote a letter to him? Testimony? He goes, no, I didn't. I go, read that. And he read it, and he goes, wow. And then I said, Chesley, where are you in this? He goes, I'm one of the two little brothers. Chesley literally is a word made flesh that dwells among us. In a moment, and I'm going to call him up and have him share because a lot of people don't know. I mean, Lena talked about it. He's a minister.
He's preached at a church for 7 years. And Chesley has led people to the Lord outside the church and inside the church. He's seen healings outside the church and inside the church. And I asked him to share. You know why? Because it's never just a word. Never just say it's a word, but it's never just a word. Because that just a word is connected to other people. And they're connected to other people. And they're connected to this one and that one and the other one and this one. And Cammie talked about the billion people coming in, getting saved, and all of a sudden they go home to the family and their atmosphere changes. Entire families have got saved because one young person started it. So I'm having Chesley, if you come up and share, please. And you're going to hear from a word made flesh. And I want you to think about all the things that were connected just from one word. Come on up.
Whew. You know, John knows how to surprise you in a car. Try to make a brother cry in front of another brother. Isn't that right? But, you know, as a young person, my sister was born and then had myself to keep her company. They were hoping for another girl and had my younger brother, Tristan. And we're part Native American, so my dad saved my little brother's life. My mom was going to name him Tishomingo. And he's very happy to be Tristan and not Tishomingo. And I grew up in church and just felt there was a call of God on my life to preach the gospel from a young age. I love Jesus so much, I would kidnap my sister's Barbies and preach to them. Ken and Barbie got saved every Saturday and made my sister mad because I water baptized them once. And just love the Lord. But when I went to public school, come from a family of somewhat educated people, I was struggling to learn and was diagnosed with severe dyslexia and was put in special ed where the teachers would tell the kids there's nothing wrong with y'all. Y'all are just lazy and stupid and will never really amount to anything. And the more I heard that, the more I believed that. And so I just would go home and really, there's so many times you can cry to where you quit crying, you just become numb. And my mom had a friend who worked at the school and said, use this program and teach Chesley to read or his life will never be the same. And my mom went out for it and did it, but I would just lay my head on the desk and cry and say, I'm too stupid, I can't do anything. And she'd say, no, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the mind of Christ. Who told you you were stupid? You know, and finally begin to learn to read, begin to share with my mom some of the abuse that went through in that situation. And so I love Jesus, but I wasn't really sure if I liked people too much, you know, and was at a church camp and God put it in my heart. Well, son, remember, I called you to preach. Like, Lord, if you call me to preach, I need free things. You got to help me love people because people, it's not easy to love them when you've been abused. The other thing is I don't want to be a financial burden to anybody and I don't really care if I'm articulate. I just want to know you're with me, your anointing's with me. Don't care about any of that other stuff. And really, it was where my friend John Guillory was working in the ministry that I heard that God tell me to do that and went for it at a little place called Country Camp. And was just a little on fire for God, 13-year-old kid. And John asked me just to share two different things that God did in my life as a young person. One of the things I began to pray when I was 13 years old is, God, I want to hear your voice. I don't want to just read scriptures about you, and I don't want to just hear where other people hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. You know, I was kind of jealous. Like, these people in church, they talk to you like you talk to them all the time, and I don't hear them that way. And the Lord said, if you want to hear my voice, look to help people. When I was 13 years old and went to the University of Texas football game with one of my brothers, and there was a man standing by the carts that they would haul off the injured players with, and we just locked eyes. And I knew I was supposed to talk to him about the Lord, but I was scared, so I didn't. You know, and as on my way home, I said, Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity to do that again, I will be obedient and I will do it. I promise. A week later, was at a karate test, was there to spar people. So I've been fighting people for about 2 hours, kicking people in the face for Jesus. And was in the hallway and there was a girl who just looked super worried and super troubled. And the Lord said, go talk to her. I was like, well, Lord, it's supposed to be guys talk to guys and girls talk to girls. He's like, go talk to this girl. I said, okay, what am I going to say? He said, I'll tell you to say when I want you to say it. And I went up to this young lady and introduced myself and said, what's going on? She's like, well, I moved far away, but I'm in love with your friend, and I'm afraid that I'm never going to get to tell him I love him. And I was like, well, how old are you? She's like, I'm 15. He's like, you don't love him. You're just afraid you're going to miss your friend. And I said, you know, just the most unarticulate thing ever. Like, do you know if you're going to go to heaven or if you're to die? And she said, well, how could I go to heaven if I die if both my parents hate God? I said, why do both your parents hate God? She said, my mom was raised by a pastor who sexually abused her whole life. She said, my parents hate God, want nothing to do with church or Christians. I said, well, God will save you as an individual because of what Jesus did. And not only will he save you, but he can use you to love and reach your parents. I said, there's nothing too hard for God. And God did not do to your mom what happened. I said, do you want to receive Jesus? She said, I want to receive him today. And we prayed, and she received Jesus and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And she had told me she was moving. And I said, well, where are you moving to? She said, my dad just got a job in South Africa. We're going to be moving to Africa. If I had waited, she might not have ever heard the gospel. The next time I heard the Lord's voice very clear as a young man, God told me to be friends with these two young men who were kind of social rejects. And went to their house, and it was what I would call the Dungeons and Dragons Star Wars party. And I didn't play Dungeons and Dragons. I rebuked those demons while they were doing it. And and so one of the young men was there, and the Lord told me, tell him, quit hurting yourself. I love you. You're valuable. And so I just looked at this big guy who's like 6'3", 250 pounds, with tattoos from his fingertips to his neck, and I'm Mr. Homeschool Country Boy, who doesn't know anything about nothing. And I said, God says, quit hurting yourself. You're valuable. And he's like, what? I said, God said, quit hurting yourself. You're valuable. He began to tear up and cry. He said, he had been cutting himself. Because his dad would come home from work and say, you're worthless. He was an alcoholic. You're nothing. You'll never be anything. Worst thing that happened in my life. And I began to tell him, because Jesus says you're valuable. He said, well, how do I know if I'm valuable? Because Jesus said, when you were on the cross, if you were the only person in the world, he would have died for you. You were valuable to him. And he gave his life to Christ. And so it becomes an addicting thing, because if you want to really hear the voice of God more and you haven't heard it in a long time, the Bible, one of my favorite quotes from Bible school, he doesn't tell you his will once so you can hear it twice. You know, it's when he tells you to do something, do it, and it usually involves loving and reaching out to people who are in desperate need of him, who need the word of God in their lives. And one of the things the Lord began to do in my life as well at the church for 7 years, preaching on Wednesday nights, started off preaching with 20 people who were asleep by the announcements. I mean, that's discouraging. It's like, we're not even talking about, they're not judging your preaching. It's like, next Sunday, we have water baptism. They half asleep. Like, oh, Jesus. And, we worked, John and myself, at a mega ministry. We'd have thousands of people a weekend, going from like 2,000 people a weekend to 20 people asleep on a Wednesday. It was a culture shock for me. But just began to talk to the Lord, and he said, Chesley, you don't worry about the sheep coming in. You don't worry about the sheep leaving. You feed them when I tell you to feed them. And he said, Chesley, miracles are easy when you love people. He told me something, and he's like, a lot of people want to see miracles, but they hate people. He said, if you want to see the miraculous happen, love my people the way I love them. And I began to say, well, Lord, I want to love your people that way. And begin to have the courage to go for the miraculous. So I just want to share free healings that God did that just stood out. There was a Baptist lady who came to visit the church on a Wednesday night, who was taught healing wasn't for today and prophecy wasn't real and all that other stuff. But her son was going to our church, so she went with him. And as I was preaching, God interrupted the service and showed me a person crying out in pain and grabbing their back and not able to sleep at night. I said, well, there's somebody here who's going through this. You're crying in pain. You're grabbing your back. You're not able to sleep at night. And I said, I don't know who you are, but God's going to heal you. And I said, and if you're too embarrassed to raise your hand, you're going to get healed right now. Come talk to me after the service. And my friend was sitting with his mom, and he's like, Mom. She's like, yeah. She's like, that's you. He said, your back's been in pain. You haven't been able to sleep for 5 days. How's your back feel? She's like, surprisingly good. And she came up and told me afterwards and began to pray with her, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. This other situation, there was a lady who went to our church who was a dental hygienist who came out of the Catholic Church and gotten saved and gotten Spirit-filled. And her mom was still in that denomination. And they had just found a tumor on her body the size of a grapefruit. And she said, can you pray for my mom that God, that when they go in to take the biopsy, that it's benign, there's no cancer? And I said, well, yeah, we're going to pray for that. And God said, pray that it be gone. I was like, okay, we're not just going to pray that it be benign. We're saying this thing's gone. And we prayed with her, and I saw her, the daughter, a week later. I said, well, what did the biopsy say? She said, well, they went in to do the biopsy, and it was gone. And I was, when something like that happens, it becomes addicting in a good way. So then you begin looking for anybody you pray for, migraines, you know, cold sores, whatever. One of the most favorite miracles nights that happened, I was preaching on a Wednesday, and it was a really tough season in our church. The senior pastor kind of disappeared for a while without any notification. Like, see you guys, preach for me for a while. I'm going to be gone. And then our elders, who are sweet and beautiful people, four couples who all came down with cancer all at the same time. And it was just where all of this was happening, where the man who I thought was a good man was having an emotional breakdown as a pastor. These people are, who have been very good people, are fighting cancer. And honestly, I did not feel like the world's most super powerful, anointed Christian person that night that I'm supposed to preach. So I just did what I knew to do. I got on the floor and said, Jesus, you got to help me. You know, some of the greatest prayers you could pray is, help! And that was what I was doing that night. And the Lord said, I'm going to be with you, and begin to preach and pray for the people after the service. And a little girl got healed from a migraine. Another lady got healed from some sort of cold. I was just happy. But there's a lady in line with crutches. And I said, you don't have to come up to me. I'm going to come to you. Don't try to walk. She was having difficulty. Which they had diagnosed her with a condition which basically is arthritis that leads to degeneration of the spine. And the doctors had told her, you're going to be crippled in a month. You know, and she had come to the service, so I go to pray for her, not knowing totally that condition, and she's all of like 4'11", 100 pounds. When she starts getting happy and jumping up and down and froze the crutches, and I was like, whoa, 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 wait, baby, be careful, don't sue Brother Chesley, you know, hold on, you know, and so she's like, no, I mean, she said, you don't understand, I've been in so much pain, I couldn't even walk well, and the pain's gone. She went to the doctor, normal back. All that was gone. And she was this little hit lady who had just gotten saved before, so she'd been telling everybody, Walmart, HEB, the dental office. And so it was so neat to me. I'm going out in public not knowing she had been sharing the word about Jesus. And I'm trying just to go to the store to HEB to get my milk and coffee. And I'm having people like, you're the lady who prayed for so-and-so. Pray for me. And so this is what I want to share with you all today. God chooses the weak things to confound the wise, the things that are nothing to shame the things that think they are something. And when your heart is to hear his voice so you can bless and reach people, he's going to speak to you. You know, when your heart is to say, Lord Jesus, I want to see people get healed because you love people and it's all for your glory, you'll see the miraculous. It's all for his glory. The Holy Spirit came to glorify him. It took a lot of pressure off of me because I realized the healings were not because I was holy enough, not because I prayed enough, not because I fasted enough. The healings were to bring glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. All things were created by him and through him. Without him, nothing that was made that was made. And it's for his glory. The Holy Spirit came to glorify him. So when you get up to preach, you don't have to be scared to get up to preach. God's not going to let his world fail because his son's going to get that glory. So for every person in this room, you can hear the voice of the Lord. It's not just for the special people, the people that you perceive to be really good because they might not be as good as you thought. The Bible calls Lot a righteous man. If they can call Lot righteous, Lord Jesus. And also, he doesn't just pick people because of you were so good. No, he's so good. So let's just
raise our hands, people. It's powerful. One of the things Chesley didn't say, he's very humble, but that kid at the Dungeons and Dragons where he was cutting himself, he says, you don't need to hurt yourself. God loves you. He was cutting himself, but the next day he was going to commit suicide. So when his mom, and the reason why I say that is because Chesley can go on and on and on, the healings and the tumors and stuff. When his mom got that word, you know, dry your eyes, you're going to have more children, and she had two little sons, when she was holding Chesley, she didn't know everything he was going to be. She didn't know, so it's just a word. We hold a word like a baby. And the devil comes to, you know, Satan tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, not when he was a grown man. Why? He tries to come it before it sets in and you believe it. Because when you believe it, now it's a weapon. He's trying to keep you from belief. As soon as you believe it, now it's a weapon. You're fighting from that place. So he tries to take the seed out. Chesley was a promise from God, and here he hears the voices, you're stupid, you're no good, that he had to fight from that place. And then he believes God. He says, now the pressure's off me. God, it's all about you. And so he comes from that place. It comes to that place. Amen? And so there's things where it's just a word. So my point of bringing him up here was, Chesley is literally a word made flesh from the word made flesh. And when he brings it to pass, when he brings that word, all those things that are connected to it, You know, people say, oh, I'm called to be the nations. There's people in those nations. I'm called to be money. There's people. And I want to just read one more thing. You know, Alan talked about in 1 Kings, and he talked about Elijah and Ahab. And, you know, he talked about, you know, I hear the sound. And he heard the sound before he saw the cloud. And he goes, I hear the sound. Prepare for rain. See, if you hear God's word, you will prepare for the rain before you see it. And you prepare it by faith. You bring those promises up. Because I do believe in the word of the Lord. It's going to rain on this place, the faith, the favor, the connections, the finances. And those promises that are closer to the surface will receive the rain. The seed soaks the rain so you don't harden your heart. Satan tried to come the seed. He tried to come when it was sown. He didn't try to come when you were married. He says, you're lonely. You'll always be lonely. No one ever wants you. Then you get married. He tries to fight against that. And we say Satan. Let me just say his kingdom, because a lot of times it's just us. It's not even him. So we fight from that place, amen? But the Bible says Elijah said, okay, hear the sound. He says, go look. There's nothing. Go look. There's nothing. Go look. There's nothing. Go look. The seventh time he says, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. We do not despise the day of small beginnings. It was the size of a man's hand. And Elijah prepared himself, and the Bible says he outran Ahab. The power of God came on him, and he outran Ahab. And that's one thing I want to go before we finish. I want to pray for those, and I'm saying I'm not going to call you up. But sometimes we need the power of God to come on us, so we run with the word. Ahab was antagonistic. He was against the prophet. There's things that are against your promises that will never be. You're too low, wrong gender, wrong background, wrong income, wrong church, wrong this. And it's like Ahab, he comes against those things to be antagonistic. And sometimes we need the power of God so we can run past the criticisms, the wrong thoughts, the wrong thinking, and we can run with the word. So if you're here today and you need the power of God on you so you can run past the criticisms, I want you to stand up. Because if I was sitting down, I would stand up. Because you know how many promises I had about money that haven't come to pass? Nations that haven't come to pass? No one's calling me for money, but you know what? His word is still true. Because after the first meeting and God moves and war is and all those things and other nations, no one's going to ask how long it took. They're just going to say, who's with you? So if you need the refreshing power of God on your life, I want you to stand. Because in Alan's sermon, the Bible says, he says, go tell Ahab to prepare his chariot. And he prepared what was in the natural. But in the supernatural, he outran the natural. He says, Ahab, you go ahead. You have a head start. You antagonizer, you anti-God, you one that's trying to put me down, the one that says there won't be any money, there won't be any people, you'll never get married, no one's going to have any connections, your kids are going to be rotten, you'll never have any finances, no one will open a door for you, no one will care for you. The power of God came on him. You're not called to ministry, you'll never be able to fulfill that role that he's called you to do. The power of God came on him, and he ran past all those things that were against him. See, and I'm not going to lay hands on you. I'm not going to pray for you. I want you just to have a time with God. And we're not going to go long or this, but sometimes we need a resetting, a re-strengthening, a refreshing. So the word made flesh can flow through a word made flesh. You literally heard from a word made flesh. It was just a spoken word about children. And that's a prophecy just spoken. Jesse's friend John got a word today, a prophecy about the nations and different things. Just a spoken word. But Jesus, I thank you. You are the Word made flesh. And we believe you, Jesus. Everything you promised us, Lord, is yes and amen. Thank you for breathing life and fire on the promises of God. He's a lion. He's a lamb. We sang about it. Sometimes he comes in gentle. Sometimes he comes in strong. He says, wake up, believe with me. And sometimes he comes gently and says, I'm still here. One of the things Alan said in the sermon, he referred back to Sabata in his message, and he says, you know, we look to Jesus. We come again to Jesus. So it's not just about the promises. We're not warring for the promises. We're warring for the kingdom of God with the promises. Can you put up there again, Keith, please? 1 Timothy 1:18. What would the apostle, the one that was in prison, in jail, the one that saw a voice, heard a voice and saw a light, knocked off his horse, what was the thing he's going to say to Timothy in the first chapter, the first letter? This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Let me say it like this. According to the promises previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So, Lord, we receive every promise that you've given us, and by them we wage a good warfare. We are a training center, a revival center, a healing center. Yes, ambulances really will pull up. Yes, nations are really going to ask for you, Kami. Yes, people are going to say, yes, Jen Height, you are going to start orphanages. Yes, there'll be places where Alan goes and says, this orphanage is here because we actually gave money. You can't give more than enough money if you don't have enough for yourself. There will actually be those places. It's actual planes. It's actual plane tickets. It's actual people. Easy and Lena will sit in actual churches and see you have an actual marriage. And they'll get up and speak and say, I remember. It'll be actual people. They'll go to your home. You'll cook a meal. They'll sit with your kids. Jesus is an actual Savior. He's not something that made up. He actually lived. He actually died, and he actually rose again. He is the spirit of prophecy. So we don't elevate prophecies. We elevate Jesus. And there's nothing he said that he can't bring to pass. The power is not in the promise. The power is in the one that gave it. A warranty on a piece of paper is only good as the company that's backing it up. And the only reason I believe prophetic words is because I believe if God spoke to them through them, not because of them. So, Lord, I thank you for bringing refreshing.